This is Movers and Shakers, where we interview the upcoming generation of Make It Happen multifamily investors to share their story.
Welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-host of the Movers and Shakers podcast. I'm here with my buddy, my brosif, Joshua Ryan Rosen. Josh, how are you doing today?
Gino, doing well, man. Spending a lot of time working on the business, which as entrepreneurs, you know, is key to creating success. It may not be the sexiest work, but it's definitely the most necessary as you scale. And the time put in pays off down the road.
Ask me how I know you're doing that.
Gino, how do you know?
Oh, you are so cranky, Josh. You are a sales guru. You love being out there. You love adding value. When you sit down in front of a Google Doc, I can see your mind wandering. It's not your strength, but that's okay. It's needed. It's necessary, isn't it?
A necessary evil it is, my friend. So, all right, what I want to do is get on today's guest. So we have two guests, Anthony Vincino and Dan Kruger. So Anthony is a best-selling author, real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur committed to helping people maximize the return on life. Dan worked in finance for a Fortune 500 company before making the jump into multifamily investing and entrepreneurship. He's never looked back since. Together, Anthony and Dan founded Invictus Capital, a multifamily acquisition firm based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that provides busy working professionals with the opportunity to invest better. As the hosts of Multifamily Investing Made Simple podcast and authors of Passive Investing Made Simple, Anthony and Dan are spreading the word that investing doesn't have to be complicated, scary, or overwhelming. Without further ado, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us, guys.
We're excited.
I think this is our third time on this one. I feel like we're frequent flyers at this point.
The third time is the charm. What I want to do, though, is I want to get back and I want you both to discuss how you met. And Anthony, there's a story that you told me last year when you were going through it and you guys made your goals and you said to yourselves, you know what, I want to get a couple hundred units, but you fell flat with that. But you did something else. You created an amazing book, a collaborative effort. You didn't give up. You had other goals, other tasks, the investor database, creating the business. And now all of a sudden, when everyone out there is saying there's no deals out there, you guys are crushing it. So that's a really important story for everybody to hear because there's always something you can do in every part of the cycle. So Anthony, first, go ahead. Tell me how you guys met and then go into that story of both of you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a really good story coming off of the back of 2020 and COVID. It was a weird year for a lot of people. So Dan and I, we met at a networking event. And like, I am super introverted and uncomfortable at live events with other human beings. And so I went to this event and I set myself the goal of just meeting one person. That's all I needed to do. And I stepped into the conference room and there's people everywhere. All the tables are filled with people. And I find the one table where nobody is sitting and I sit there. So I go away from all the people and I sit at the one table and then this guy comes along, sits down next to me and it's Dan Kruger. Like we had no intentions of looking for partners at that point. We were just two guys trying to hide from everybody else. We had a good conversation. We went to lunch. We stayed in touch for the next couple of months. And then it eventually became so clear that our skill sets were so complementary. Our mindsets were the same and where we wanted to go and the pace at which we wanted to go there were in sync. And so it became a really obvious thing to partner together. And so we formed Invictus Capital. And at this point we had a number of deals individually under our belt. But when we got together, we said, okay, let's try and take down what, like 100 units, maybe 200 units in 2020. Let's see if we could do that because we had every reason to believe that that was something that we could do. We closed a deal in January and we were feeling really on fire. We had some good deal flow, but then COVID hit and deal flow dried up overnight. And not just dried up, but we didn't know what the world was going to look like. So we went more conservative on our investment thesis. And so we were looking at things through a much more stringent eye. And so things just weren't working out. And we ended up doing a second deal later in the year in November. And so we didn't hit that number goal. But the thing is, like, if you measure success and failure based off of the outcome, then it's a binary win or lose, right? Like we didn't hit our goal. We wanted to get say 100 units, but we only ended up getting 62. So we didn't hit the goal. But if the goal in fact is put in the work every single day and follow the process that will lead to that desired outcome, well, we did that. We tackled it every single day. And now we're reaping the benefits of that in 2021. But during 2020, when the deals were dry, like we didn't just sit on our hands. We decided, what are we going to do to maximize this time? And so we sat down and we wrote a book. And now here we are a year later, ready to launch it into the world.
Dan, yeah, my question to you is first and foremost, have you become a better networker? Are you still going to those networking events where you sit at a table by yourself? Because I love to do that myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I love the way Anthony told that story, because like you mentioned, the reason we work so well together is because we have the same kind of philosophical and moral beliefs about things. We think about the same things the same way. And I had the exact same feeling walking into that conference as well. I'm very introverted. And so I looked around at a bunch of full tables and I saw one table with just one guy. And I was like, that's where I'm going. That's I can walk up to one guy and talk to him, but trying to work your way into a group, that's tough. And so I kind of gravitated just organically to somebody who I shared the same mindset with. And I think that's why we work so well, really, is that we came into this partnership organically. We didn't go in there looking for partners. We just went in there to try to learn something and went in with an open mind, and it just sort of turned into something really fantastic in an organic way, which I think is fantastic. And to answer your question, I have become a better networker now because I've gotten much more intentional about what it is I'm there to do and how I'm doing it. And instead of going in with the mindset of how can I meet people and, you know, what am I going to say to them? You know, what if I don't have anything to talk about? Like, that's the usual stuff that kind of goes through my head in social situations. It's like, what am I going to say? And I just go blank. Instead of going in, trying to figure out what I'm going to say, all I do is I go in and just ask people a bunch of questions about themselves. And I know that my one goal is to try to find some way that I can try to help them out, whether I can introduce them to somebody or help them solve a problem or answer questions. And so it's really easy to just go ask a bunch of questions because the other person does all the talking. Mm-hmm. And when you provide value for people and help them out, organically, good things just kind of come back to you. So that's my strategy with networking now. So I'd say, yes, I'm better at it. However, I have yet to be at an actual live event since I think 2019, honestly, with COVID, it's just kind of all that stuff went away. We didn't really do any of the virtual stuff. I think maybe we did one or two, but not much.
We went to the Jake and Gino Buy Right Bootcamp.
That's right. That was the last event.
That might have been the very last live event that we went to.
And our next event that we're going to be at is another Jake and Gino event. So I'm pumped because that's going to be the first one in like over a year that I've been to. And it's going to be probably one of the best ones yet for a lot of reasons, but we'll get into that.
You know, Dan, I want to talk about that. What is the importance of attending these live events, right? A lot of people are like, look, I don't want to spend the time to travel. I don't want to be away from my family. Why is it important for someone in their journey to attend something like this?
Yeah, well, my first response to those kinds of pushback would be like, you don't need to go to an out-of-town event. These things are all over the place. Just go to something local to kind of get the ball rolling and start doing these things. But the real value is if you want to get somewhere, if you want to achieve a goal and you want to do something you've never done before, you're going to have to be around people that aren't already around. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get in the rooms with the people who are doing the things that you want to be doing. And just the proximity to that kind of energy and that kind of knowledge is invaluable. And so the cost of the ticket is ridiculous. I mean, the amount of high influence, potentially valuable people that are all crammed into one room at these events is insane. So it's silly to, you know, poo-poo like $100 or $200 ticket. Even if you just meet one rock star person, you know, me and Anthony, that's a good example there. That was more than worth the price of the ticket. I mean, the amount of value that's crammed into those events, I was kind of having to justify this to some people that I know when, you know, I started traveling for these things, because they're like, okay, why are you going all the way down there for this? It's like, this is the most efficient way to accelerate yourself on the learning curve or in business, is to get in there and you can cram, you know, 6 months worth of getting coffee with people and doing meetings into 1 or 2 days. So it's so efficient and so valuable. So people just need to stop making excuses and go into it with an open mind and kind of just take the same logic that I have. Just go in there and try to help people out and it'll probably work out.
Anthony, go ahead.
And specifically, like within the through the lens of like, you know, the education program and the community at Jake and Gina, like there's something to be said about a vetted networking group. People who have not just, you know, like gone through the filter of like, are they serious? Do they actually want this? But they actually put their money where their mouth is, and they're paying for the thing. And when something's free, people don't value it the same. You go to all those free Menria events or like, you know, the free ones, they're going to be a lot of tire kickers. There's going to be a lot of people who are thinking about, maybe I want to be a wholesaler. Maybe I want to buy a skyscraper. Like, they
and
don't
they're
know
probably
what they
trying to sell you something too. Cause if it's free, most of the time, it's probably going to be a pitch fest.
The thing that's so valuable about the Jake and Gino community and these live events there is that, you know, everybody there is like part of the community. Like, they're serious about making it happen, like by default, that's how they got into the room. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there. And that's very valuable. It means that your time is going into talking to people where it's, you're not going to get a half an hour down the road and be like, oh, this person doesn't have a clue. They're never going to do a thing. I just wasted a half an hour of my life. Every conversation that you have with somebody in the Jake and Gino community is somebody who's potentially and very likely going to partner with you in the future if you find the right opportunity.
Guys, do you mind if I share an acronym that Josh taught me years ago when it comes to networking? It's the FORD acronym, F-O-R-D. Mm-hmm. When you don't know what to say to somebody, think of FORD. It's family, occupation, recreation, and then dream. Talk about my family. I've got six kids, my occupation, my recreation is what I love to do, hunting, fishing, you know, whatever that may be. And then talk about bucket list and really ask people. Jay Abraham is famous for saying, if you want to be interesting, yes, you need to be interested. That's really important because we think that the big networkers or the big party guys out there saying, all you need to do is just go in there and just have a list of questions for every single person and listen to them and be genuine and be there like you want to listen to them, not like you're looking at the next person. When you're there, have the intention of talking to Dan one-on-one, spend a few minutes with Dan, get to know Dan. And you know what? It's okay to be old school with the business card because I love to give Dan something so he can remember me by it. But don't just go out and be handing business cards. Be intentional with it. I think the other thing that both of you said with these live events, I'm going to be honest with you both, they pulled me through COVID within the last year because we've had events all throughout COVID and I look forward to them. This year, we had one in April. We had one in June. We're having one in August, one in September, MM4 in October, and then end of November, we have a boot camp. So every couple of months, I get re-energized. I learn something. I meet other students. I have other opportunities. It's so exciting that to have that come off that high on Monday after we've done a two-day and you see all the coaches. We're having a coaches retreat in August, the next couple of weeks. I get to hang out with them. We're gonna go do some really cool events. And it's something that it's just inexplicable, that energy you get and that ability to meet other people. And then, you know, you have a little lull for a couple of months. You need a little recharge. And I'm back at the next event. So that's why I love the events. They pulled me through. And I'd rather spend time with people who want to be in that room, who want to grow and who want to learn. Like you said, Dan, that proximity is important. The question, though, that I want to ask you both, I really want to know, why did you write this book? It's Anthony, it's a painful process. A lot of work goes involved into it. What made you both come up with the idea of writing this book?
Yeah, writing sucks. And I say that as a guy who's published, this is number 13. Writer. This is my 13th book and it always sucks. But it's, so for us, you know, we have a lot of conversations with potential new investors, people that have never in their entire life heard what a syndication is, never even realized what multifamily investing is. I know for me, you know, my story really started in 2016, 2017. Like I had some real estate before that, but I didn't have any multifamily experience. And it was in 2016 or so when the light bulb went off and I realized, hey, people own these apartment buildings and it's not just rich people. It's not just entities. Like doing my research, I realized it's people just like us pooling their resources. And so since then I've been like on this kick, super passionate about spreading the word, educating people. Like we're not interested in selling people on real estate and why it's a good investment. We just want to put the information out there so that they can see it and judge for themselves. And when they do, the light bulb goes off in their head and they go, this is a great investment opportunity. The problem is that there's a lot of money out there pushing people into investing in stocks or bonds or into, you know, Wall Street, not into Main Street. And people, when they do think about real estate, it can feel daunting and overwhelming. And maybe they have a W-2 job that they love and they don't want to leave that. They don't want to deal with toilets, tenants, and trash. And so they think real estate's off limits to them. Well, that's not the case. There's a lot of ways to get involved. And specifically what this book, Passive Investing Made Simple, is all about is how you, a busy working professional that doesn't necessarily want to be active, how you can still participate in these investments. And like Dan and I are just super passionate about this because we've seen how it's affected our own lives. But really like at the core of it, like we want to do well for our families. Like I have six brothers and sisters. Dan has siblings and family. Like, and we want them all to participate as much as possible in these vehicles. And that's like what really energizes us at the end of the day is like seeing like how we can serve with our skill set and our company, friends and family, and then, you know, the larger world beyond that. So that was really the impetus for the book.
And Dan, for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Anthony pretty much hit it on the head. So I'll piggyback on that and provide a little bit more color from my perspective, because really there's there's a few things here. One, I'm naturally just an educator. I've had a coaching business where I coach people in the nutrition space for about 6 years. And as soon as I started getting into the multifamily stuff, I was just getting tons of questions from people, even before we started working with investors. They just wanted to get their head wrapped around it. So I was having these really in-depth sessions with people, you know, multiple sessions. We started with the sister and then the brother-in-law and then the friends of the brother-in-law and then other friends, and just sort of expanded. But it was, you know, effectively me having this same kind of real estate 101, very long, multi-hour, over several day conversation with these people, getting them up to speed on the thing. And it's effectively kind of the same conversation over and over again. But, you know, I'm always thinking like, what's a better way to disseminate all this information for people, right? So my first thought was like, oh, video content on social media, I could refer back to that. And so we started kind of producing a bunch of content. And, you know, it still kind of didn't seem like the most efficient way to get that information across. Plus, there's a ton of people that just don't want to use that type of medium to get information. Some people actually just want to read a book. They don't want to watch a video or read a blog or something like that. And I always found myself recommending books that were just geared at active investors. They were great real estate books that really summed up the business model nicely, but they were geared towards active investors. So there was just kind of a data overload for some of these people that were really just trying to be limited partners in syndications. And so there wasn't really a good resource for a passive investor. There's tons of resources for the active guys, the guys who want to be like us and go find the deals and learn how to manage them and learn about all the financing and all these things. But, you know, there's not a good go-to resource for passive investors for real estate syndications. There's this big gap in the market. And so, you know, we just realized that this is something that is in high demand. It needs to be out there. We want to educate people and spread value. And bonus, it makes our job easier as people kind of come into our fold and get introduced to us. This is a really beautiful, concise, really well-written way to communicate that information. And so it was just really kind of amazing that, you know, Anthony and I we found this partnership together, and he just happens to be an incredibly talented author. He's got 12 novels under his belt. So this isn't just a book written by a real estate investor who decided to write a book. It's a book by a really good author and a real estate investor. So it's just a really amazing, valuable resource. And we're just so excited to share it with everybody out there.
You know, I love that. And you say the book's for passive investors, but when I hear that as someone who's active in the business, what I see from it is I could really read this, put myself in their shoes, mm-hmm. and improve my investor journey, because truly, there are a lot of sponsors out there. And the question is, what are you going to do to differentiate yourself, right? How are you going to create mm-hmm. that investor journey? And I'm sure as an active investor, there are a lot of tips that they could go implement in their business to improve as well.
Yeah. And the great thing about the book is Anthony wrote it in a way that it's got, it's written so well that you can come into it with zero knowledge about real estate and understand everything that's in there. And if you come in with pre-existing knowledge and you already understand the business, but you want to learn more, there's still goodies in there for you. So mm-hmm. I'll let Anthony kind of double down on that, but it's a very versatile resource for people.
Yeah. This is me doubling down. No, the thing is, we tried to create frameworks. And so Josh, that's a really good point, is like this book, we wrote it with the passive investor in mind, but active investors, your job, if you want to raise capital effectively, is you have to understand the questions, the motivations, the fears that the passive investor has in their heads. And so if you read this book, you will gain some frameworks of ways to phrase things or structure things and how to address those fears that a passive investor is likely to have. Because listen, like we've heard the thing, if you have a great deal, the money will come. And it's not true. Like it's not true. It takes a lot of nurturing. It takes a lot of handholding. And here's the truth, guys, like in the early days of raising capital, it's hard and awkward. You're sitting there with people and you feel like you're asking them for money. You feel like a beggar, and it's not that case at all. And so like this book, it will hopefully give you some strategies for, okay, If I coach this in this way, if I present it in this way, and I use this structure, then this will resonate and be helpful for that person who maybe just walked into the room and has no idea what an apartment building even is.
Yeah, people don't invest in what they don't understand, or at least they shouldn't invest in what they don't understand. So it's, you know, just all about getting up to that point. Oh yeah, I mean,
yeah. Well, nobody
everyone
understands
needs
that,
to double down on that for sure. Today, maybe.
All right. So what are some of the most common concerns newer investors have? And as a professional deal sponsor, what's the best way to handle those?
Oh, Anthony, do you want to go?
No, you,
do
you,
wanna,
you, I get, yeah. you took the first breath. That means you're committed. You got to take it.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, honestly, it all depends on who you're talking to. So I kind of separate people into two camps. We've got the experienced guys who have done some investments in real estate before and they kind of get it. And then there's the people who are just starting down that journey and they're just starting to go down that rabbit hole. And I think the questions you get from the latter there, the person who's new to this business model is kind of stemming from residual information left over from like the 2008 crash, right? So in 2007, 2008, there was a stigma attached to the word real estate, right? That just became almost synonymous with risky, which really is not true because real estate, as we know, is a very broad term. And within real estate, you've got retail, you've got office space, you've got multifamily, you've got single family houses. So really when you say real estate to somebody who's new to this, they think housing crash. That's the first thing that that pops into their head. So they start thinking it's risky. They think that there's going to be a crash. They're going to lose all their money. And so the immediate concerns from the newer guys are typically, how am I not going to lose my money? And so you have to kind of coach them through the process of understanding, you know, why people blew up back in 2008, 2009, the over leverage, and kind of walk them through that process. And then the more experienced guys usually have questions around occupancy, you know, where's your break even occupancy? Like how bad can things go before this loses money? And what are your assumptions on rent growth? And like, how did you come by those assumptions? And do you have proof of concept? And have you done this before, the track record? So the experienced guys are asking much more technical specific questions about either underwriting and or track record. And the newer investors seem, they don't really know exactly what questions to ask, but they think it's really risky. And that's usually the direction their brain starts going.
Yeah, it's funny. So those new investors, because they don't know what questions to ask, they default a lot of times to looking at the deal and wondering like what are the return metrics and these things and getting into the spreadsheets because they think like that's where they're going to be able to sift out the risk and return profile. But for those new investors, the conversation that we have most frequently is like, hey, that's not the place to start. The place to start is with the operators, the people that are running the deal. It doesn't matter what the spreadsheet shows because we can make that lie. We can make it show whatever we want it to. So your first and foremost priority when you're first starting out is to find the operators that you don't just know, like, and trust. Because I know, like, and trust my brother, I would not give him money. So there also has to be this track record of competence, right? And saying like this, these people know what they're doing and know how to actually execute on this. Because at the end of the day, the analogy I like to use is that we bet on the jockey, not the horse. And yes, they're both very, very important. You can't win the championship without a rock star horse. But the thing is that a championship level jockey doesn't get on a lame horse. He gets on the horse that he thinks he can win with. And so when the operator that you have all the faith in the world in, and they're rock stars, they bring you a deal, you know that they're going to do well with it. And it's like the analogy of if I give a bad operator lemonade, they're just going to spill it on the ground. You're going to have lemonade on the ground. If I give a great operator lemons, they're going to make me some lemonade. So go and find the good operators and work with them. Now, the experienced guys, they've already found their stable. They know who they want to work with. They know they've already vetted for that stuff. So for them now, they're starting to get into the deal nuances a little bit because they've been around the block. They know what questions to ask, but it's a spectrum. And in the early days, spend more of your time focused on finding the operators that you want to do business with.
Love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Gino, I know a lot of our listeners are wanting to take their multifamily investing business to the next level. I know that you've been hard at work helping Jake and Gino students do just that using our framework. Can you explain to the listeners how they can get our help?
Guys, we've been hard at work growing our community of like-minded investors, and the results of our members has been nothing short of incredible. We're looking to grow this amazing group. What we're looking for is those who want to follow our proprietary framework that we've created. Buy right, manage right, and finance right. Leverage our connections, education, and mentorship as ways to take your business to the next level.
So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can become a part of our amazing community, apply to work with us at jakeandgino.com/apply.
All right, gentlemen, I got some short answer questions here for you. And since you're a third time guest, I came up with some new ones and we'll go Anthony, ooh, then Dan answering them. All right. So what is the most gratifying part of being an investor?
There's two parts, but I'll go with one and see if Dan fills in the other one. I don't know if he gets the same question. The most gratifying part for me is the investors when the light bulb goes off in their head and they finally see like this amazing investment vehicle that's made more millionaires than any other in the world that they used to think was off limits. It's only for the uber wealthy, or that it was too risky and they could never do it. And the light bulb goes off and they realize, oh, this can be my avenue towards financial freedom. This can be the better way to invest. And like, that's really cool. Not even when they give us the money to input into an investment, it's when the light bulb goes off and they start to believe that they can do it too.
Love that.
Yeah. For mine, I'm going to pivot a little bit here. You asked, you know, what was the most rewarding part of being an investor? So aside from being a deal sponsor and working with investors, I'm going to kind of talk about it more from the lens of like, what do I enjoy about the process of investing personally? And what I enjoy is building something big and amazing. And that goes for not just finding a good property and fixing up and making it better and providing a better living solution for the tenants and making some money at the same time, but also building a big portfolio with a vertically integrated component of property management and maintenance and house. Building a big, well-oiled machine is really exciting.
Yeah, that's a good answer. All right. So if you could do one thing differently in your investing journey, what would it be and why?
Anthony first.
I think one thing, I don't know if you can change one thing without changing everything. So I don't know if it's safe to go back in time to change anything, but I will say the thing that was the hardest was I tried to partner with one of my best friends in the world on a quad. It was like one of the very first real estate deals I ever wanted to do. And I had to pull the plug literally the week before closing because it was clear that the relationship wasn't going to survive the tension because we had the same strengths, same weaknesses. We weren't communicating clearly. There's too much emotion tied up into it. And so if I could go back and do anything differently, I would try to find a better way to navigate that relationship. But the takeaway there for people at home is like, be really cognizant and careful about the partnerships that you get into because they're like a marriage. Like they last a long time, easy to get into, hard to get out of.
That. Yeah. Are you guys still friends now? I got to interject a little question there.
Yeah, he just bought me a Frisbee for my birthday. So, I mean, he used to buy me nicer gifts, but no.
I'd say the relationship was probably more valuable than the potential returns on the property. So I'd say it's a good move.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see, if I could go back and change one thing about my journey, I would say if I could go back and change one thing, I would be open to partnering with others sooner. I spent the first year of my investing journey, in retrospect, very kind of driven by ego. I wanted to say, it's all my money, it's all my work, I'm doing all the things, this is all mine. I wanted to own 100% of the thing. And it took me about a year to realize that that's extremely limiting. And I would much rather be a participant in a really big, amazing thing, kind of like that big portfolio I was talking about. I'd rather be a part of that really big, amazing thing than 100% owner of something that's small and just okay.
Yeah, that's a great mindset. You know, a slice of a watermelon is bigger than a whole grape to yourself. So absolutely, it's a very big one there. All right. So gentlemen, listen, I think you crushed it with how you educate investors on this. And really my biggest takeaway on that was you're educating them and letting them come to an informed conclusion rather than steering them one way or another. It's demystifying the facts and figures they didn't previously have and maybe overcoming some thoughts that they had that weren't true. So that was really awesome. Gino, what are your biggest takeaways from this episode?
So Josh, I want you to picture this. Anthony Vecchino is at a networking event, sitting at a round table all by himself. Dan Kruger walks in and goes, that guy's all by himself. Maybe I'm going to go sit down and hang out with him for a little bit. They sit down and they start talking. And I know them personally, both of them, really well. And I know they would click off and hit it off right away. They're both entrepreneurs. They're both business owners. They're both hard workers. They're both really highly skilled at what they do. And, you know, thank God they hit it off, because this is what we have today, the work today, you know, meeting and going through the Jake and Gino community, starting through the education, because it comes down to education times action equals results. Just because you're great in one space doesn't mean you know everything about another space. And that's what happened. Anthony actually went and he really reinvested in his education in multifamily. And what Dan said to me was really, really empowering, because I used to think that way also. And I have a lot of people who push back and go, well, you only own 25% of the deal, but it's not even that. It's all the other benefits and the way to build it out. Would Anthony be able to write a book if he didn't have a partner like Dan and get into that? Would Dan be able to have this book without Anthony's help? It's the same path that Jake and I did. We had all these units going down and Jake decides, hey, Gino, do you want to write a book? sure, write a book. It would have been very difficult if I didn't have an amazing partner, as in the way you two did. And for me, everybody out there should follow that blueprint. Their blueprint is learn, do, and then teach. And if we had more people out there doing that, how amazing would this world be, where we're all learning a skill, we're all end up doing it and becoming successful, and then we're giving back. And, you know, it's not even a give to get in their mentality. It's more of a seek to serve mentality, where they're putting this work out. Anthony knows, he's a best-selling author. You're not making a ton of money on writing a book. What you're doing is you're sharing your knowledge, you're sharing your experience, you're sharing your love, and you're just trying to help other people out there to get educated on this daunting apartment inventing space, where everyone thinks you need to be, like you said, Anthony, an uber millionaire, where that's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, becoming a passive investor is what we all want to become, because we want to get that time value back. So maybe if you're working a W-2 job and you can't do it on your own, hey, Anthony and Dan are there to help you. And if not, you know, you can find other avenues to do it. Now, what I want to do, Josh, is book is launching. We're going to have it on Kindle for 99 cents the first week. So what I want you all to do, if you buy it on Kindle for 99 cents, email me, screen grab, leave us a review on Amazon, 99 cents, leave me a review. Email me the review, gino@jakeandgino.com. I will send you a hard copy in the mail. 99 cents, everybody. All we want is a review from the book. I mean, this is an amazing book. Like I said, even if you're an active investor, you're going to get a ton of tidbits in here. You want to be in that mindset of what passive investors want. When you can speak their lingo, the money's not coming, everybody, on your first or second deal. This will help the money to come. You know, this is going to be an important tool for you as an active or a past investor. So email me, gino@jakeandgino.com, of that review, and I will send you a hard copy in the mail, everybody.
Hey, man, I know what I would do, but picking up some copies of that book, giving it out to my passive investors, and really let that book do the heavy lifting. So listen, guys, I appreciate you taking the time to put this well-needed tool in the space to help others. And listen, it's been an awesome show, man. I want to thank you guys for being amazing guests.
Any final words, boys?
No, I think you guys surmised it so well.
Get out and network, meet the people. That's
learned. Yeah, I love the learn, do, teach. I think the teaching part is you learn it so much better. And really think about, like, what's the impact that you're having on the world around you. And teaching is one of the best ways to do that. So I appreciate you guys for having us, for the partnership, and like everything that you guys stand for. And looking forward to another year with you.
Let's go out and let's make it happen, boys. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.